Welcome, everyone, to the V Book Club podcast. We are here today at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, a.k.a. Rendy Lovelady's house, and we are going to talk all about Gulf Coast Jam that's coming up in May, and, you know, just music, history, a little bit of everything. So thanks so much for being here today, Rendy.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for coming.
Of course. So tell us, I know you are in the thick of it. Gulf Coast Jam is coming up May 28th to 31st. How are you feeling?
Stressed.
Stressed.
I mean, it's a year-round job. Nobody knows that. They all think we just show up and have a four-day festival.
Right.
But it's a year-round job. Matter of fact, somebody asked me, are you working on Gulf Coast Jam next year? I said, we've already booked the headliners. We were like, we're already lined for 27. But it is marketing. And when you sell to 50 states and 14 countries, you literally have to market year-round. And we have the most beautiful beaches in the world, so it makes it easy to have a fifth headliner, the beaches. So
absolutely.
But we're definitely 100% in stress mode.
Yeah. So what do you have coming up? Like, what does stress mode look like for you?
Well, the biggest show we've ever had was Morgan Wallen. Until Post Malone showed up.
Yeah.
So Morgan had 8 semis, and which is a big show. Mm-hmm. Well, Post is bringing this stadium show, and he's going to have 14 semis. So that's my biggest stress right now is where am I going to put everybody, and where am I going to put 14 semis plus the 4 that come before him? So that means 18 semis. That's a stressful thing.
Yeah, I mean, things that people don't think about. Like you said, they think you just show up and have a festival. But
my partner, Mark Sheldon, is literally the guru of – he's operations manager, and he runs operations for the show. And every inch of our, I think it's 25 acres out there, he has it plotted off. Mm-hmm. It looks like a funeral plot where everything's X'd out to the nth
degree.
So that way when you show up on Wednesday to load all your stuff in, all the toilets and all the stuff that have come in, it literally built a city out there. He literally has an address just for what you need. So it's all sectioned out. So that's something we're going through right now.
Yeah.
And then you have security issues. I mean, you know, all the problems in the world, what's going on with this, who's mad at Post, who's mad at Stapleton. You start running analysis on security risks. That becomes a major idea because our whole thing is safety first.
Right.
Safety first. So we call her a lady. 80% of our crowd is female. And we go out of our way to make her feel safe because if she's safe, everybody's safe. So that's just some of this. I mean, I can sit here and talk forever, but it's just, it's those are really the big things we're dealing with right now is production, operations, and security.
So tell me, you know, let's get right into it with the headliners for this year. You've got Post Malone. How did that come about?
You know, we've been trying to get Posty for about 3 years.
Okay.
And Gulf Coast Jam is a country event. I mean, we country on the coast. That's our slogan. But here comes this young man that comes from nowhere that's singing everything.
Right.
I mean, he's singing hard rock with Ozzy. He's singing, he's traveling with all these bands, doing all these huge things. Plus, he has his R&B side. He has his rap side. And then he comes out with this country record that's just an absolute smash.
Yep.
So it kind of made sense all of a sudden to have Post Malone. So it took us that. We've been working with the LA office for a while. Cheryl, his agent, has been just absolutely amazing. But getting him done was quite an experience because he's a big machine.
Right.
And coming right here to little Panama City Beach, it's a big movement. It's a big activity.
So were they excited to come here?
I think it's kind of like fitting a square peg in a round hole. It's kind of like going, we have this big show, where are you going to fit it?
Yeah.
And I think we're going to fit it. Everything. I mean, he brings everything. Pyro, lasers. I mean, every kind of concussion, it's going to be just, people would compare it to Kid Rock, but this is Kid Rock on steroids. So it's they're excited to be here because they agreed to come. So it's definitely going to bring an element. That's part of one of my pride in doing Gulf Coast Jam is bringing world-class talent right here to our little beach. And they come from everywhere and people love it. They love it.
Speaking of him doing a country album, it seems like more stars who have been typically in the pop or R&B side are kind of starting to branch off into country lately. What do you think about that?
Always follows many brilliance. It is. It was. I mean, I mean, Morgan started it when he did his duets records, and he didn't call it a duets record. And if you go back to Tony Bennett, he did duets.
Right.
I mean, everybody's done duets. But in his case, he picked the right ones and he had the right songs. And I think he had 8 number one hits off that record.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Morgan, Blake. I mean, it just, the list goes on and on.
Right. So it's just sort of, like you said, not a trend, but something that's always been done. But this is,
I wouldn't even say that. I mean, you've got trends. I mean, Jelly Roll's doing duets with him. I mean, it's, I mean, there's just so many people doing duets with other people. I mean, Brandon Lake, a big Christian artist, is doing duets with Jelly Roll. And it just, there's, it's just a whole new freshness to music. And I love that. Because to me, music kind of, in some ways, has kind of become stagnant. They kind of all start sounding alike. So when you have people that get real creative and say, I want to try something new.
Right.
It's just, it gets exciting.
Yeah.
It's not like, you know, you have rock acts. I've had phone calls from some of my rock acts in the past wanting to do a country record. I'm going, dude, that's not going to work. You're going to open your voice and that screaming voice is going to come out and they're going to go, that is not country.
What do you think people love the most about country? Like, what draws so many people to this genre?
You know, it's funny. Years ago, I'd say it was the songs. But the shows have become so big now. I mean, Morgan Shows is a worldwide show. I mean, it's massive. Post, the same thing. So I think we call it country because that's kind of where the box labels it. But you come to Gulf Coast Jam, I have people that say, can't stand country music.
Yeah.
They come to that live event. And it ignites them. I mean, it just becomes a big show. And all of a sudden, they don't just compare it to country. They compare it to other big shows. And it's exciting. But, I mean, it still is the music. I mean, to me, country music tells stories. Even today, even in bro countries, they still kind of tell a story. Whereas I think, you know, I think that's music's always, it's the heart and soul of the business. So country's is the closest thing I'd say to the true art of song. And you got Stapleton. I mean, his music's divine.
Right.
I mean, every song is a smash, but every song is a story. So, I mean, I it's about the music, but it's also about the show.
Yeah. I mean, you've got these world-class artists coming into to Panama City Beach, which is probably something nobody ever really thought would happen before you started doing it.
They laughed at me.
Right. Like, how many years ago? It's
This is our 14th year.
Yeah, so almost 15 years.
Yeah.
And how does that happen? So not how did you decide to do it, but what is the difference between producing a festival like this somewhere else and then doing it here in such a, I want to say, you know, a small town?
Well, I always affectionately say half my crowd is crabs because the Gulf of Mexico, the Gulf of America is literally fish. So we have to market way beyond the normal marketplace. But it is the beautiful beaches. I mean, it's Panama City Beach is a challenge in some ways because you have such a big show. I mean, if you'd asked me 13 years ago, would we ever expect 30,000 people? I'd have said, I was thankful for 6,000 the first year. So it's grown beyond what we all thought it was. I remember the mayor at the time, her name was Gail. And she looked at me and she said, you're bringing what to my town? And I said, well, because we were, like I said, we'd produced a show in Enterprise. And it had some issues, so we decided to look for a place to play. And Panama City Beach stepped up to the table and said, we're willing to give you a shot and we're willing to back you financially at least to get started. So we, my partner Mark and I, just went, we're in. Let's do it. So it's been an experience. There are a few destination festivals, but it's not on the beach. We're one of the few there is. So that's, I think that's what makes it unique. It's not only you have music, you have food, you have all kinds of golf and fishing and all that stuff right here on the beach.
Yeah, you make a true vacation out of it.
And they do.
I
have artists now. This is funny. I have artists now that literally book and come to do the show, but will stay a week. And it's part of their contract.
Right.
So I pay for a house on the beach for a week and I get the show.
Okay.
So that's how much people love staying in Panama City. Of course, you know, they now call the 30A area, you know, South Alabama, South Nashville. So, I mean, it's
true.
It's all part of what we do. But they do. They love playing here. And I'm actually talking to somebody for 27, and that's what they want. They wanted 10 days on the beach.
Who wouldn't?
That's good for me if it's good for you.
Yeah. So a funny story, Bama Jam, which is the festival you're talking about at Enterprise, was actually on one of V Magazine's first covers.
Are you serious?
So we had ZZ Top on the cover, a photo from Bama Jam.
That was,
Jam.
What, 2009,
I think?
I think
it was 2009. So.
Taylor Swift playing right there in Enterprise, Alabama. I bet she'd look back in that and go,
Okay. But no, that's just kind of a funny connection. I should have brought the cover with me. But no, let's go back and talk a little bit too about other festivals that you've produced and just sort of how you got into the industry, growing through how you got started from doing festivals, the elevator version.
So I started out as literally in New Orleans at the Singer Theater. I'd sweep floors and pull cables when I was 12 and 13 years old. And then I grew up and went to college and thought professional football was going to be my path. And all of a sudden my head said, nope, you're done with professional football. So I went back to work for the concert company, which was then called Pace Concerts, which is now AEG Concerts. Mm-hmm. But I started with them and I all of a sudden became the promoter's rep. So back then, promoters would buy all of Van Halen dates. You know what I'm saying? So if you had 100 dates, one person would buy 100 dates.
Okay.
And then they would turn around and sell to different promoters, right? So I went back to work as their promoter and our promoter's rep, and I went on the road with Van Halen. And when I was on the road with Van Halen, everything happened with David Lee Roth, and there was a big splitting, and somehow I survived and got to be with the band for the next 13 years. So from there, I started managing, and as we talked, I mean, geez, I could go down the list and see the gray hair. That tells you whatever. I mean, I've been in the business 45 years.
Yeah, so I walked in, and you were like, wait, you're wearing Fleetwood Mac shirt. Did you know I used to manage them? I was like, no, I did not know that. But
it's,
no,
that's the experience. It's been great, and I've been a part of it. And then I started my first festival was Tennessee River Run, which is in Savannah, Tennessee, with Darryl Worley. And it was a nonprofit event to benefit cancer treatment center we were trying to build in that area. And then from there, I produced a bunch of festivals, but to Enterprise. And then from Enterprise, when that closed down, Mark and I literally said, let's find the best place. And we ended up in Panama City Beach. So it's every different kind of music done. I mean, we tried to do Sand Jam, and then COVID hit and we had to shut that down. That was going to be an attempt to be a rock festival.
It was cool.
It was. Yeah. Honestly,
I went to those.
It was really cool. It was it was one of the best venues in the world. Well, I mean, sitting right there on the ocean.
The sand. It was great.
It was great. It was. So, and then came up through that. I mean, tour managing, and then now I'm producing festivals. And after this, I'm going to Tahiti.
Okay. Yeah, fair enough. So what would you say is your biggest challenge doing Gulf Coast Jam? So,
I mean, when it comes right down to it, our job is one thing. We sell tickets. And when you try to market to, I mean, I think now, and then going in our 14th year, we beat the weather. People buy our tickets saying, okay, we know that if they cancel for whatever reason, we refund. I mean, you build trust with your consumer. And I think that's another thing. I think making them feel safe and feel that they're protected. But I mean, it's honestly, I think it's building a brand that people trust. You don't lie. When you have bad weather coming, you tell them. You tell them we're going to have to evacuate 30,000 people. They get mad, get all upset about losing that one beer instead of their life. But they get upset with it. But we bring them back. If I tell them they're coming back, if I go up there and say, hey, we're going to evacuate 30,000 people, but you know what? In about an hour and a half at the most, you're coming right back. So at first they go, whatever. But then they see we open the gates and they come back. So they build trust. And then I just think selling tickets, building trust, and the bottom line is making people, it's about the experience, right? People come to Gulf Coast Jam to party. They want to come have a party. It's an adult. We call it a family show because we have kids there. But 90% of the people there come with one thing in mind, and that's to have great music on the beach with a beer in their hand. So
let's talk a little bit about that experience too, because it's not just the stage. You've got all the vendors that you have, amazing food from local restaurants, and also you have like a very special, I would say, VIP experience with some different levels of that. So let's talk a little bit about that.
Wow, you really want to know about this thing, don't you?
I do.
I mean, it's the experience is key. One of the things, I mean, you're gonna always go away going, this was great music.
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna always go away, I want to come back. We hope you do. We try to keep it affordable. We try to keep it reasonable, because when you come here, you have to rent a condo, which is, you know, thousands of dollars, and then we try to keep our ticket reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the experience builds when you start hearing the marketing. People start buying tickets. We'll sell tickets this year for next year's sale.
Right.
So we instantly start trying to sell the experience, mm-hmm, and the excitement this year. I mean, it's food. We try to keep an eye. I mean, Mark and I laugh all the time. We get paid a lot of money to sell beer and hot dogs. You know what I mean? It's like we're carnies. Uh-huh. That's what we are.
Uh-huh.
But we believe that the experience, when you walk in that gate, you're coming into a place. You see lots of places to get food and beverage. You get, I mean, different kinds of food. I mean, yeah, they'll have the standard fair food, like, you know, hot dogs and hamburgers, mm-hmm, and
right,
all that good stuff.
Good funnel cake.
Funnel cake is the key. That's so funny. You
gotta have a funnel cake.
But it's, I mean, but you start there. But the truth of the matter is, it's all about sitting. And when you get 30,000 people in that park, you're pretty tight in there. Mm-hmm. You want to make sure everybody has fun. We tell jokes a lot. We make sure there's videos rolling. We keep the music pumping.
Mm-hmm.
We try to make it from the time the gates open at 1 o'clock to the time they leave at midnight. They are having a blast. So we interact. We tell them funny things. We are constantly pitching upgrades. So if,
yep,
you're in a GA ticket, we say, hey, go to Instagram and third person, whatever, you upgrade to, uh-huh, VIP. But then we have the VIP section, because 7,500 tickets that we have are people that pay a lot of money to, mm-hmm, come to the show. We have probably one of the biggest frustrations we've had with VIP is people stand. They're paying a big ticket price, and you got people standing in front of them. So we try to listen to our consumer, and we started, uh-huh, standing VIP and, uh-huh, sitting VIP, so you can picture which one you want. So that's done well for us. And then we started our sky boxes.
Mm-hmm.
So we build a 200-foot wide stage. We have 22 tables, 11 on each side, to where you have people that wait on you. They have, mm-hmm, people that bring you food. You have your little suite there that's probably, I think we have 10 to 12 people in each suite.
Yep.
But they get to be this close to the artist. The artist literally walks right in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
So that becomes a very special experience. And then we have our suites, which are like golf suites. We started out with 3, and this year we're going to have 16. And this is a 30-person suite that most companies buy. And they have their private bar. They have their private food. They have their, it's a very exclusive experience, and companies entertain people, and they're standing up above the crowd, so they're not having to deal with 30,000 people, but they're getting to see, mm-hmm, you know, Blake Shelton from here to the stage and not see anything in front of them but the music and the person. So our suites, they literally have become a corporate, you, uh-huh, know, amazing experience, because they entertain their people. I mean, I could tell you, I can't tell you, but we have these people that buy nationals, corporations come to our show to,
right,
entertain them on the beach,
mm-hmm,
and entertain them in country music. It's just become a great experience. So we try to even make even our general admission tickets feel like they're a part of something.
Mm-hmm.
And then we put up VIP bathrooms. We have an air conditioned bar in the middle of it. It's all about liquids.
Right.
So you, three ways you make money in tickets, right? Sponsorships, selling tickets, and then there's liquids.
Uh-huh.
And liquids is everything from Jim Beam to Budweiser to water.
Mm-hmm.
And so we try to make that easy and affordable to get to. So it's all about trying to get them in the park, and then it's trying to keep them in the park and keep them happy.
Yeah. Well, I think, and something that you've been doing throughout all of Gulf Coast Jam too is bringing some of the not headliner artists up through, I think, the industry, and doing the competitions,
yep,
different things like that. So how did that come about? Like, how did you start?
Well, I was a manager before, mm-hmm, I was a promoter.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that we as a team kind of thrive on is new talent,
mm-hmm,
because that's where old talent comes. That's where you get multi-platinum from new talent.
Right.
I mean, I can remember when Luke Combs played our B stage, mm-hmm. and he literally was on a beach stage, and he made nothing, and now he's playing 55,000 seat stadiums.
Yeah.
So it's you get to see that happen, but you also just give an opportunity for young artists to have a platform.
Mm-hmm.
And being a manager, that's important to me, is creativity, but giving songs a chance to come to life. And so we do a competition, and the winner competition plays on the main stage in front of 30,000 people.
Right.
So it's an inspiring thing, but it's also just keeping it real in the talent. I mean, just giving them a chance. Mm-hmm. So we try to do that. And it's fun to also pick like mega stars that's going to be huge. You know, we book them a year ago and they were in the middle of the road, and you try to pick out who's going to be the big ones. And we've been lucky enough to you know, pick some good ones.
Yeah. I
mean, Lainey Wilson, we booked her when she was just Lainey.
Uh-huh.
And then she's this mega star now. Jelly Roll. I can't tell you the numbers, but it was like a tenth of what he's getting paid now. And I'm just saying, it's exciting to see those people grow and to become who they are today.
Yeah, well, and it's exciting as a guest who's at a festival like that to say, oh, I saw Jelly Roll 2 years ago before everybody else knew him, you know. So I think it's something really cool that people who are coming to Gulf Coast Jam get to see some of those artists that you might know, oh, they're going to grow, they're going to be big. But if you're just sitting in the audience, you may not know that at the time.
it's funny. You can sit there and see, like, I'm not picking on Luke for any other reason, but during the show, he played a show. When he got done playing the show, he was out in the audience getting funnel cakes. And that's why I laughed when you said funnel cakes. It made me think of Luke Combs going out and getting a funnel cake, and nobody knew who he was.
Yeah.
And now he'd have to have like 1,500 security people to walk with him. So that's exciting. It's also exciting to be able to see mega acts. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, Riley Green, who lives real close to here.
Right.
He actually is calling this his home show.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's going to be playing. And I can remember seeing Riley playing around town.
Yep.
Literally playing at fishing tournaments and stuff like that. And here he is playing the main stage at Gulf Coast Jam. And it's kind of exciting to see that happen.
Yeah, and it's exciting for the people of Panama City Beach who got to see him when he was growing up too. So, I think seeing that and then just talking a little bit more about these megastars, because I mean, we saw Dierks Bentley brought a whole plane on the stage, and you know, it was Luke Bryan's throwing beers out into the audience and things like that. But so it's just an incredible experience to buy that ticket and get to see so many people within 3 or 4 days.
2013, Toby Keith, Brantley Gilbert, Trace Adkins.
Mm-hmm.
We had 6,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
And we were running out shouting, saying, can you believe it? 6,000 people.
Right.
And here's 13 years later, we've sold out going on four times.
Yep.
And we're talking 30,000 people in a park. And it's nice. I mean, I always get goosebumps that first night. When the first artist, because by the fourth night, you're exhausted and you don't really care who's on stage.
Of course.
But that first night, you feel the energy of the crowd because they're here. It's here. It's it's kind of like a wedding, and we have the wedding and they get married and you're going, wow, here it is. And my partner and I sit out at the front of the house, probably a cold beer somewhere close by, and we sit there and feel the emotion. I have become emotional about it. After COVID, when we'd shut down for 3 years, literally, when the stage crew, all these people have been unemployed for years. We were the, not to be political, but Ron DeSantis literally made us happen the first year. He helped us make it happen. We were the first festival in the world, what they call a mega event.
Okay.
Happen. I had crew crying, literally crying because they were going back to work. I mean, we were trying to figure out, Lord, we were trying to figure out how do you test, you know, at that time it was 25,000 people.
Right.
How do you test them three times or two times? How do you do that? How do you do it? And DeSantis came in and said, you know what? Let's do it this way.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, you know, Rolling Stone called me a murderer, but that's okay. That's Rolling Stone. But it worked and we pulled it off and we brought the country. I don't say we brought the country, but we were the first one to inspire the rest of the country.
Mm-hmm.
If they did it, we can do it.
To try and find ways to do it as safely as possible.
Correct.
And let these people work, let people have, you know, get their jobs, get paid.
And you know what? After it was over with, it wasn't a major spreader like everybody thought. Everybody did great. Everybody had a blast. People it was just, I don't even know how I got on that, but it was an amazing thing to see that happen, and it happened right here in Panama City Beach.
Right. Well, how does that, you know, tracking back to your days as being a manager, being a producer, how do you feel that experience has led into producing a festival instead
I've known every side of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, starting out as a road crew guy, sweeping the floors, I mean, pulling cables, now I know how to load trucks. Mm-hmm. Learn how to load trucks, then you start doing shows on the road. You learn how to do shows on the road, you know how to learn how to sell tickets. Mm-hmm. It's funny, all my life, when you do arena shows, you're putting butts in the seats. You ever heard that? Say, I'm going to sell tickets, put butts in the seats. Where now, I'm putting heads in the beds.
Heads in beds, yeah, I've heard that one too.
But it's a whole different perspective. Uh-huh. It's a whole different thing to do, but it's still, they all play together. So when a road manager comes up, like Post Malone's road manager, talking about his production, mm-hmm. I know what he's talking about. I know what the needs are. That's why I went, where am I going to park these trucks? Uh-huh. But it's helped me. Yeah. I built 40 years of experience with people that literally worked on my bands when I was managing. When I have people that work for me on this road crew, mm-hmm. when I was so many years ago, 40 years ago, are now agents for major artists or managing major artists.
Right.
So let's think of the best story. The best story, probably Morgan Wallen yes, in the first the year when he got sick.
Uh-huh.
Remember that?
Uh-huh.
And he canceled
yes.
2 weeks before the show. Now, you want to talk about stress?
Mm-hmm.
Morgan Wallen canceling 2 weeks before the show?
Yeah, but you used to manage Fleetwood Mac.
That's has nothing to do with that moment, and nobody cared at that point.
But dealing with stress.
But I knew Kenny Chesney's manager.
Yeah.
And I knew Kenny. And I picked up the mm-hmm. phone and I called and I said, I have this situation. Now, Kenny's massive. Guess what? He got done with his tour 3 days before our show.
Uh-huh.
And he got done in Alabama. That was a good thing. But he was playing Orange Beach.
Uh-huh.
And I said, will you come play our show? And he did.
Yeah.
And you know what? Nobody missed a beat.
Mm-hmm.
And we had Kenny Chesney mm-hmm. on our stage.
Right. And yeah, and having those connections, I mean, that's priceless. So
it's a lot of gray hair. But I mean, at the same time, it's a great thing because I have people that I'm proud of, that I'm part of. I have a situation going on right now. A guy that was tour manager for me when I managed a band called Jars of Clay. And then when I managed Little Big Town, he grew into tour managing Little Big Town. Mm-hmm. Well, now he's managing all kinds of artists himself. And I have a situation. I called him up today and said, I'm dealing with something here. Can you help me out? Yeah. And this is a guy that worked for me 30 years ago. And I'm still talking to him in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been great.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk a little bit about all the memorabilia and the awards and things that I'm seeing. Do you have a favorite piece in your house? Like, the viewers aren't going to see everything, but when I tell you it's like a museum in here, it is.
My favorite piece.
Uh-huh. I figured it might be since it's
last day.
Place of honor.
Last day I'm on the road with Van Halen.
Uh-huh.
Eddie looks at me and he goes, you got a Sharpie? And I went, of course, I'm walking him off stage every night, right?
Yeah.
And he wants a Sharpie every night. So I pulled the Sharpie out. He pulled his guitar off his back. Lily wrote, thanks for the years, Eddie Van Halen,
mm-hmm.
right there.
That's incredible.
That's the picture of him playing it live uh-huh. on stage. So that's precious to me.
Yes.
I mean, the Grammys are precious. I mean, the platinum records are precious, but that's very special to me.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is I've learned over the years, and this is going to sound very whatever. That's when I'm dead and gone, they're not going to remember that. It's those two little grandbabies.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get emotional.
Yeah.
That's what I want to be remembered by.
Yeah.
Making a difference in my kid's mm-hmm. life. That's mm-hmm. what's important. Sorry about that.
Well, and like you said, and Gulf Coast Jam is a family show. You want people to be able to bring their families, come have fun, and then also celebrating and supporting the military.
Absolutely.
Especially the ones here in our area. So let's talk a little about the service that
military?
Is being supported. Yeah, that's being celebrated.
It's funny.
Festival.
So we've always had a military tent because we always want to give guys a chance, or girls, that sounded sexist. We want to give people a chance
yes.
to have a place to go get a cold beer. We get gifts that we give them, little trinkets and stuff like that. And a couple of years back, we had an opportunity. One of our promotions guy brought us this opportunity about swearing on people on stage that are about to literally start their military career.
Okay.
So I got the privilege of meeting these two men. There's a two-star general that is, they call him Torch, and he's become a very special man to me. And then a one-star general, his name is Steve Campbell, and he's become one of my best friends.
Okay.
And they now do an annual day where we actually have the military get sworn in to be. So, I mean, you have this amazing moment where men and women are swearing their life to work for a service for our country.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have the national anthem.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have these two F-16s fly over.
Yeah.
And I mean, I can talk about it and get chills up my back. But it's become now a staple to our show.
Right.
Because it's honoring. We honor God every night. I get up on stage and I pray and I thank God, because the truth is, without God, we have nothing. But then we honor our country and the men and women that serve for us. And did you know, I found out that right here in Panama City Beach, they actually have the AOC, which is the command center for the nation.
Uh-huh.
They run it out of Panama City Beach.
Okay.
I had no idea. Yeah. So when the president flies right here in Panama City Beach, they control everything that goes on around the president. Every flight that gets taken up across the country, I mean, I don't remember thousands of flights a day. They oversee it right here. They're the organization that was created at Tyndall Air Force Base so 9/11 never happened again.
Mm-hmm.
And they're on our stage.
Yeah.
The generals that run that are on our stage. And the military men, this year we're trying to do something. We're going to let them fly over, and then before the night's over, come back on the stage and let the crowd meet the people that flew over. So it's, the military is not just, hey, it's a military thing.
Uh-huh.
It's truly, these people have become my family. I mean, they come and volunteer their time to help us set up the show.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's the military become part of what we really are.
Right.
And it's, and of course, we have some of the biggest military bases right within here. Navy base, Coast Guard base.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's all right here in Panama City Beach.
Right. We're talking about a small town. It's like, it's really not. There's a lot going on here. Was that something you always wanted? Like, first year of Gulf Coast Jam, did y'all talk about that? Was that a decision that you made? Like, we're going to honor the military?
Event that I have ever done.
Okay.
Even as a manager, military's always on.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the artists I manage would make a moment in the middle of the show, stand up and say, how many military people are here tonight? And people stand up and you honor them.
Yeah.
Because listen, when I grew up, Vietnam was part of it. And I remember military people getting spit in their face because they served our country. So now I make sure they're honored by our country. And I think there's a whole different mindset now, but it's still taking the time to say thank you. Anytime I see a police officer, a first responder, a military person, I try to always go, thank you for your service. And sometimes they look at me like, you're welcome. And sometimes they look at me like, what? Because I think we should honor.
Uh-huh.
I think we should respect them.
Yeah. Well, is there anything, I would say anything outstanding this year that's going to be different from years past at Gulf Coast Jam?
I mean, just bigger and better. I mean, I think you're going to come into a park that visually is different because we have now 16 suites out there. And that's instantly going to demand a whole different visual perspective. But our 200-foot stage is world famous.
Yeah.
I mean, it's big and everybody loves it. And the fact that you can be there and be a part of it so close. I mean, 30,000 people in the park. I mean, the very back kind of gets a little dicey, but we put up these big, huge video walls to help you see it. But when you're in that VIP section or above, you're literally having an intimate evening with that artist. It's close. I mean, I don't call it the spit zone, but it's close.
No, it is. Yeah.
So I think it's more the same. I think it's more the same. I think the music changes. Every year we have different talent. We try to keep that world-class talent going on. But I think people know Gulf Coast Jam is literally a place to go and be safe, have fun, and listen to great country music.
Yeah. And you said you were finalizing headliners for next year. Are they going to be announced at the festival again? Like you did.
Somebody
in years
will
past.
Be. Yes. Okay. Somebody will be.
Okay. So yes, we've got that to look forward to.
We do it every year. We go on sale for the next year, this year.
That's like such a great strategy because you've got your audience is already there and they're having a great time. They're like, yeah, let's go.
They ain't going nowhere. So they're going to hear it every night. So they do. It does. We do. It's a great, most festivals don't do that. They try to wait for later. We start selling day one.
Well, thank you so much for your time today. And if there's anything else you want to share or talk about before we before we head out and decide decide what we're going to wear at a Gulf Coast Jam this year. So. That's
the night. That's something Andy talked about, the nightly dress up.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's...
It's always fun.
It is. I mean, it is. Again, it's part of the experience. Mm-hmm. You come everybody night, they're doing denim and diamonds. They're all wearing glitz and glamour and short Daisy boots. Dukes and shorts and boots. It's just the uniform with a cowboy hat.
Uh-huh. It's really fun.
It is. It's a good thing.
Well, we can't wait to see you up on stage again. And
I'll be there.
We'll be there in the crowd. Thank you so much, Rindy.
It's my pleasure.
All right. Thanks, everyone. And be sure to tune in next time to V Book Club and check out GulfCoastJam.com and at Gulf Coast Jam on social medias so that you can see what's coming up for 2027 and beyond.